daring, adventurous faith in Jesus. That's what Unleashed is all about. It's about God just putting us in a place that forces us outside of our comfort zone, right? It's about God expanding the boundaries of what we believe is possible. It's about us learning to trust Him more, learning to surrender to Him more, and learning to be even more generous the way that He is. And so, by way of reminder, Unleashed is a generosity initiative that's going to take place over a 2-year period of time. Our primary goal is that everyone at Rush Creek, everyone who calls Rush Creek, would have an encounter with Christ that's transformative, that we would trust Him more, surrender to Him more, and become more like Him through this journey. Our secondary goal is to raise, through the generosity of the people at Rush Creek, $22 million over that 2-year period of time. And the reason we want to do this, and I can't stress this enough, the reason we want to do this is because we feel God is calling us and compelling us to make a bigger impact for Him. And so you've heard it said around here that when someone is generous with God, they make an impact for God. And so that's what Unleashed is all about, all of us taking our generosity to the next level so that we can make a greater impact for the name of Jesus here and ultimately in places all over the world. So if you have an Unleashed booklet, you can go ahead and open it up. We'll be on page 38. If you don't have one of these, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will give you one. You can just stick your hand up in the air and we'll get you one of those. But we're going to be on page 38. Of the Unleashed booklet, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. So if you guys remember the series Unleashed, we're taking a survey of the book of Acts, which tells the story of the early church, tells the story of the very first church from its birth, all the way to telling the story of them advancing the kingdom of God all the way to the ends of the known earth. And so week one, we took a look at the mission of the church. Resurrected Jesus gave us a mission. He said, you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you can, excuse me, so that you can take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Last week we saw that connecting the local body, being connected, unified, driven by the same purpose, driven by the same mission is essential to fruitfulness, right? When the church is all in together, God works in miraculous ways and accomplishes incredible things. Today, we're going to be talking about boldness. Do you have a bold faith? Just ask yourself that question right now. Would the person next to you describe your faith in Christ as bold? Do you have a bold faith? See, the early church, the men and women in the early church, they had a bold faith. Because as the gospel was preached and the church grew, it grew rapidly. It grew exponentially, and these early church men and women began to face persecution almost immediately. All right, and we're talking about real persecution, right? Not hey, I posted a scripture verse and I didn't get a lot of likes, you know, like real legitimate persecution, okay? Exclusion from family, exclusion from community, loss of jobs, physical danger. People were arrested frequently. They even faced death. You just get 7 chapters into the book of Acts, and we see the very first martyr, Stephen, who's just sharing the gospel of Jesus with a group of people, and they become so angry toward him and so irate toward him that they stone him to death right there, just 7 chapters into the book of Acts. And so this church learned fast that to live for Jesus required boldness. Like, you couldn't just halfway live for Jesus. You couldn't have one foot in and one foot out. You had to go all in. You had to be fully committed, and you had to live boldly for Jesus. But even today, living for Jesus requires boldness, doesn't it? Because we live in a society that's increasingly secular, and so a lot of what we believe, a lot of what we do, a lot of what is precious and dear to us as followers of Christ is not valued, is not believed, is not supported by the community at large. And so you can just take, for example, the fundamental belief of Christianity, that Jesus is the only Son of God who lived and died and rose again, and that the only way a person can find forgiveness and eternal life is through Him. To say that there's only one way to God in our culture today is looked at as as intolerant, right? It's not a widely accepted belief. Or you could talk about the sanctity of life. We believe all of life is precious. All of life belongs to God. All of life is a gift to God. And most people will agree with you about that to a point. But when you start making applications to the lives of unborn children, then there becomes disagreement and argument and contention in our society, right? A lot of what we believe, a lot of what we hold dear, is not widely accepted by the culture. And so it does take boldness to live for Jesus today. It takes boldness to stand on truth when you're in the minority. It takes boldness to live in a way that honors God every single day. It takes boldness to center your life around the Lord rather than around your job or your family or anything else, right? It takes boldness to follow Jesus even today. So what does that look like? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're in Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 27 to 33. So listen along as I read this. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, in other words, everybody assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. I'm talking about the death of Jesus here. And in verse 29, they say, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. What does it mean to be bold for Jesus? Being bold for Jesus means each of us needs to, number one, embrace the risk. Embrace the risk. Take a look at verse 29. They say, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." These people were facing opposition, right? They had to embrace the risk of living for Jesus. To be bold for Jesus means each of us must embrace the risk. Another way to say that would be to say, face your fear. Embrace the risk or face your fear. What are you afraid of? I want to share this quote from a children's author, Judy Blume. She says, "Each of us must confront our own fears. We must come face to face with them. How we handle our fears will determine where we go with the rest of our lives, to experience adventure or to be limited by it." See, everybody has fears. There's things in your life that are holding you back, that are restraining you, driven by fear, right? That are preventing you from living fully the life that God is inviting you and calling you to live. And so what are you afraid of? See, a lot of us fear living boldly for Jesus because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of losing friends, families, relationships. Like it's one thing to kind of be a casual Christian, right? You don't really stir up too many waters when you're just casually living for Jesus. But if you live committed to Jesus, right? If you seek to honor him every single day, if you allow his word and his spirit to radically transform, radically redirect and lead your life, that's a totally different thing, isn't it? And that's going to impact all of your life. Right? And so a lot of us, we have fear of being all in because we're afraid of how that's going to impact our friendships, impact our families, impact our relationships. What if I share the gospel with my friend and he doesn't like that, and then that disrupts our relationship, right? Fear of rejection. Some of us are afraid of looking foolish. Fear of man. Like, what will people think of me if I really live my life for Jesus? What will people think of me if I say, you know, I'm all about this now and I'm not so much about that now, and so I'm just taking a step in this direction instead of that way with you guys? Like, what would it happen? We fear looking foolish, right? Insecurities, things like that. We got fear of missing out. Angela asked me yesterday, "You know what FOMO means?" No, I don't know, baby. I don't know. Do you know FOMO? Some of you don't know, I guess, but fear of missing out. Hashtag FOMO. Come on, fear of missing out. Don't we have this? Like Jesus calls us to renounce everything for his sake. Renounce everything, right? That's everything, right? For Jesus. Like, what are you going to miss out on living for Jesus? If you look at it from a worldly perspective, you could probably say a lot. But if you look at it with a heavenly, eternal perspective, that ain't nothing compared to what he has in store for you, right? Fear of going without. We're in the middle of a generosity initiative. We're asking you, hey, pray. Ask God how he wants you to participate. Right, we have a commitment card that we've shared with you, and I know many of you have been looking at this and praying over this and really seeking the Lord's guidance. But when we're talking about upping our generosity, that makes us afraid a little bit, doesn't it? That makes us a little bit fearful of, what if I go without? What if I have a need that's not going to be met? And so we start to ask all of these questions, right? Fear of going without. There's all kinds of things that we fear. And I just want to talk about fear for just a second, because fear, I think, is a natural response to many things. Like, I've never shared the gospel with somebody where I didn't feel a little bit afraid inside. I mean, because you're dealing with life and death issues, right? I mean, eternity hangs in the balance when you're talking about the gospel of Jesus, and all of us have insecurities, and we want other people to like us, and we want other people to approve of us, and so on and so forth. And so I've never once shared the gospel where I didn't have a little bit of fear, right? I haven't looked at or prayed over this card one time where I was like just totally confident. Yeah, everything, you know, there's fear there, right? It's a natural human response to change. That's a natural human response to embracing risk. It's just part of it, right? It's part of it. Fear is a natural part of that. But I also want to say this, that fear does not come from God. Fear does not come from God. Fear is an instrument that the enemy uses to create doubt in our heart. Right, to stop us dead in our tracks so that we don't continue to take steps closer to Jesus. Fear is not from God. Fear is an instrument the enemy uses to stunt your growth and to limit your impact. See, the Bible says that God's love casts out fear. Right? God's love casts fear out of our hearts. Why? Because he is a good Father who lovingly protects and provides for every need of every one of his children. See, God's love drives out fear. And so when we're afraid, what should we do? We should depend more on him. We should press more into him, because it's his love and his love alone that will drive out that fear. I love this scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy, man, God called him to he gave him a big calling. He had a big dream for young Timothy's life, and it was a little bit overwhelming to him, and he found himself in a place of fear. And Paul wrote to him, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. See, God's love drives out fear, and it replaces it with confidence. It replaces it with great faith in him. And so tonight we have advanced commitment night, and I know Chase mentioned this earlier, and there's going to be so many people from Rush Creek who they're going to come tonight, and you're invited to come. And I know some of you have said, man, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. This is part of the process. You are absolutely welcome to come and be a part of this tonight, even if you're not there yet. You're welcome to come and be a part of it. But tonight at 6 o'clock at the Mansfield Performing Arts Center, there's gonna be people coming, and they're gonna face their fear, right? They're gonna face their fear. They're gonna depend on God, and they're gonna take a step closer to him as he leads each and every one of them. And that's what it's all about tonight. See, being bold for Jesus means we gotta embrace the risk. But number two, it means this, that we have to enhance our prayer. Being bold for Jesus means we've got to enhance our prayer. I don't know if you know this, but what we're reading right here, this is a prayer. See, the church was facing persecution. Peter and John had just been imprisoned and just let go, and they knew more persecution, greater persecution was going to come. And they were fearful. And so what did they do? They went to the Lord in prayer. And what we're reading is a prayer. Where do we discover boldness? We discover it in prayer, right? Boldness, listen, this is not something that we muster up in our own strength. Like, you don't just wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to be bold for Jesus, right? You try to live in your own strength. You try to be bold in your own power. It's not going to happen because by nature, we're not going to choose to embrace the risk. We're not going to choose to be bold for Jesus. We'll choose what's comfortable. We'll choose what's secure, but we won't choose to live daring, adventurous, risky, bold lives for Jesus. That only comes through the power of prayer. And I'll give you a couple examples. One is, I love this from John 13. Jesus is, they're having they're sharing a Passover meal, and Jesus announces to the disciples that he's going to die. He predicts his death in Jerusalem. And Peter is disturbed by this. And so Peter says, what do you mean I can't go where you're going to go? He says, Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. That's what he says. Is that comical to anybody? Like, here's Peter just mustering up some strength, mustering up some courage. It ain't going down that way, Jesus, because I'm going to die for you. Jesus looks at Peter and says, you're going to die for me? He goes, by the end of the night, you'll have denied me three times. And that's exactly what happened. Why? Because we can't create boldness. We can't be daring on our own. It comes through the supernatural power of God that we find in prayer. Right? Another example would be a time I was on a trip in Mexico, mission trip in Mexico, and we had just gotten there. Everybody was real excited. We were at this marketplace, and at the marketplace, there was this elderly woman who was sitting outside of a storefront, and her clothes were really ragged. Her hair was really stringy, matted. Her eyes completely glazed over. You could tell she was totally blind. She was sitting there completely helpless, completely alone, and she just had a little jar like she was looking for people to give her money. And I saw this woman, and I just felt this overwhelming kind of calling from God to go and just pray for this woman, all right? Which, like, I don't just normally roll around praying for random people on the street corner, right? Like, that's just kind of not my style, I guess, but that's what I felt the Lord was telling me to do. And I just had this great fear that held me back. I thought, like, what are people going to think of me if I just go over and start praying on this woman? Or like, what if this woman is sick and then I get sick, right? Or like, what if nothing happens and then people are like, what are you doing over there, Jared? Like I didn't know. And so just this fear of man and this personal insecurity and this lack of faith in God prevented me from living boldly for Jesus. See, we don't muster up boldness in our own strength. Right, we don't live risky lives for Jesus in our own power. It only comes, we only discover that, we only receive that through prayer. And that's what we're reading here. See, if you don't seek God in prayer, you will never experience God in power. So why aren't we more bold? Why aren't we more adventurous? Why aren't we more all in than we are today? Well, maybe it's because we're not seeking the Lord in prayer. How many of us are asking God for boldness? Like, I was convicted by this week. Like, we need to be on our knees every day. Jesus, help me live boldly for you today. Don't let this day pass by where I don't get to make an impact, where I don't contribute to your work, where I don't advance the kingdom and serve other people. Like, make me bold today and show me opportunities to serve you and impact my neighbor. Why aren't we more bold? Maybe we need to start praying for boldness the way this church did. Look at their prayer. They said, grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness. When was the last time you prayed like that? When was the last time you said, God, give me courage to speak faithfully and passionately and persuasively your word to other people? See, from the beginning, Unleashed has been a prayer journey, right? The staff and leadership at Rush Creek, we've been praying for this a long time. We've invited you to pray as well. And this is a prayer where we gotta ask God for boldness. Lord, how do you want me to participate? Give me bold faith. Give me courage to take a step closer to you. Give me courage to follow you however you lead. Seek God in prayer, and you will experience God in power. That's what we see here in this example from the early church. Being bold for Jesus means we got to embrace the risk. We've got to enhance our prayers. And the last thing is this, that we've got to elevate our expectations. Being bold for Jesus means we have to elevate our expectations. Look how they concluded this prayer. This is remarkable. They say, grant that your servants may speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hands for healing. Notice this. They say, while you do this, grant us bold faith while you go on doing miraculous things. Grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see the expectation in that prayer? I love that, right? That's like, that's challenging, but it's contagious, because they didn't pray, God, I hope you can do some incredible things, right? Or God, I really wish you would do this or that. Or God, if you could show up in this way, we would really appreciate it. Like, they had this expectancy. God, give us boldness, because we know you're going to do the miraculous. We know you're going to work signs and wonders. We know that through us, you're going to do things where people are going to be like, how in the world is that happening? And he's going to get the glory, right? They had this expectancy. Grant us boldness while you do miraculous things. And so I just want to ask you to imagine with me for a minute. See, we've got four campuses here locally. 4,300 people show up every single week. More than that, call Rush Creek home. What if every single person who called Rush Creek home determined to elevate their expectations? What if every person in this room and at each of our campuses decided, committed, I'm going to pray to God, expecting God to do incredible things? Like, what could we expect? What could we expect? I would expect that we would see more people free from sin. That we would expect more people living in victory on a day-to-day basis. That we would see more people just passionate about the Word of God. That we would see more people just engaged in worship. That we would see more people with courage to share the gospel with their friends, with their family, with their coworkers. That we would see more people trusting in Jesus for the very first time. That we'd see more people getting baptized for the very first time. That we'd see more people being called and committed to go out and plant churches where the people aren't being reached by the gospel, right? Where we'd see more people from the church on Rush Creek raised up, following God's calling on their life to take the gospel to the hard places. I think if we all committed to pray that way with expectations, God, give me boldness while you work signs and wonders and miracles, we could expect God to go above and beyond. Amen? So what are you expecting? What are you expecting? And here's where I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge each and every one of us this morning, because for so many of us, our expectations are way too low. Way too low. Like, we expect to come into a place with a comfortable temperature, right? Where our seat is available, where we like to sit, right? Where the music is to our liking and the sermon is enjoyable and we get in and out on time so that we can go and catch the football game, right? Like, a lot of times our expectations are way too low. But God expects more for us. And I want you to notice that I say God expects more for us, and I didn't say God expects more from us. He has great expectations for you and for me that we will discover when we say, make me bold for Jesus. Do your expectations match his expectations? See, being bold for Jesus means each of us must elevate our expectations above and beyond, right? That's what God promises. So do you expect it? I want you to see this. Look at what happened after this church prayed. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. See, that church was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the walls began to shake. Like, don't you want God to shake us up like that? Don't you want God to show up and do something so powerful and incredible and supernatural that you and I walk out changed? Don't you want to see God doing that? Don't you want to be filled with that kind of power and live with that kind of boldness? See, I want that. I want that for us. I want that for myself. Right? Because I want my life to count. I don't want to come to the end of my life and look back and think, man, I wasted it. I don't want to look back on the back and say, man, a lot of opportunities, a lot of things God put before me that I just couldn't commit. Fear held me back. Doubt held me back. I want to live boldly for Jesus. After Jim Elliot died, his wife recovered his journals, and she discovered that in one entry he had written this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." That man gave his life. He gave his life for the sake of the gospel, to reach people who had no access whatsoever to the good news of Jesus. He gave his life. I think about that. And I want you to ask yourself the questions I've been asking myself. What am I holding on to? What's holding on to me? What's holding me back from living boldly for Jesus? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I look on his life, I look at the life of the early church, I think about what God's calling us to, and I just think, man, it's time for us to break free. It's time for us to let go and live boldly for Jesus, right? To honor him with everything that we have so that he can accomplish incredible things in us and through us for his glory in the sake of people that we don't even know yet. And so let me ask you, are you willing to be bold for Jesus? To embrace the risk, right? To pray more and to expect greater things from him. Are you willing to be bold for Jesus? Let's pray. God, we come before you and we just confess that in our own strength, in our own power, we're incapable. We're incapable of living boldly for you and accomplishing the things that you have prepared for us. For so many of us, God, you've been calling us, inviting us to be a part of great things that you have in store. But fear is holding us back. Doubt is holding us back. And so for myself and for the many of the others who are wrestling with the same things, God, I just want to ask first for your forgiveness, and we thank you that you're patient with us. I just want to ask today for this church that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us boldness the way you did to this early church that we read about today. Shake up our lives, turn things upside down, and give us supernatural boldness so that we can live powerful lives for your glory and the good of other people. That's our prayer this morning. God, as our ushers come forward, we just want to pray for the offering as well. And we thank you, God, that you are a generous God and that you provide for our needs. We just ask that you would take what we have and bless it, God, and multiply it and use it to accomplish the things that you desire to accomplish. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.